The Future Lifestyle Pro Podcast. Yo, it's me. Have you ever acted out of character for what you would normally like to act? How you perceive yourself? Something bad comes along, something comes along and knocks you out of the game. Something unexpected happens that you don't particularly like, and you react in a way that you're not proud of. I don't know about you, I have. I'm sure we all have, really. When something bad happens, or when your expectations for how things are supposed to be aren't met for whatever reason, do you close up? You know, when you're confronted by something, if you're triggered by something, do you close up, or are you someone who might get angry, who lashes out? You're the kind of person who reacts quite viscerally, right? I think that most of our generation, most of us guys, I think we're spoiled, and we're bored. We're not having to struggle constantly all the time. Like, for our entire human history, that's what we've always had to do. Now we have a roof over our heads, we have heating, if you can afford it. You know, we have food in our cupboards, we have multiple TV channels, all the stuff that we've ever wanted, we have. All the stuff that we think we want, we've got. And we're pretty spoiled. And the revolutions that have ever happened through our history, so like the French Revolution, any big major revolutions, they're not started by the poor, oppressed people. They're not started by the people at the bottom of the ladder getting shat on by the people at the top of the ladder. They're started by the bored middle classes, the people who have got everything they need, and I've got everything I need, and I'm kind of bored now. What can I find that annoys me? What can I get angrier at? Fuck it, let's start a revolution. Let's pay someone to do it for us, though, because I don't want to get hurt. Right? That's what revolutions that change history, that is who they're started by, typically, by bored people who've got everything already, not by the oppressed. The bored middle classes throughout history, they've become fragile because they're not having to come up against any resistance. Their life's easy enough. And now we find ourselves, the working class people of the world, we find ourselves in the same position. Most of us are bored. Most of us are sat there stewing out of hours worth of conspiracies or hours worth of reality TV bullshit, basically, because we're bored. We're brats. We're basically spoiled brats. We're snowflakes. We've become snowflakes. We like to, I know a lot of it, and you get this a lot on social media, but I also get this a lot in life. You get people who like to point out problems, but they don't offer any solutions. And we've kind of become enslaved in a way by our own intolerance. We if things don't go our way, how we think it should go, we go to bits. Whether that means that you're angry as fuck, or whether you're just bitter and resentful and you think the world's gone down the swanny. Either way, you're reacting in a bad way because you don't expect it to go. It's not going the way that you would want it to go because you're spoiled. And it's a natural human condition that we always want more, right? No matter what level we get to or what we get, we always want more than what we currently have. We're never satisfied. Now, we've evolved that way for a good reason, because for millions of years, we didn't have enough. So we needed to figure ways out of never being satisfied, because we needed to get onto the next thing in order to sustain our life. But now that's not the case. We've figured out to sustain our life without always needing to fight. And we found ourselves in this place, this kind of weird place. It's like, they call it the paradox of choice. We've all got so much choice. There's so much on TV. There's so much different types of food to eat. There's so many places to go on a night out. There's so many things to literally do right now because you've got spare time that you end up blagged and stressed by the amount of choice that you've got. That is the paradox of choice. Truly oppressed people, truly poor people, truly oppressed people, they can't stop thinking about the next meal. Nothing, what they're wearing don't matter because all they can think about is food. What the friends around them are thinking of them don't matter because all they want is a roof over their heads. That's the primary. So that's what happens to truly oppressed people. Truly oppressed people don't do revolutions. They don't get pissed off and bored with life because they're more like obedient bullied dogs. And we're not that. We're not that. We're lucky to be alive in this time. We're lucky to be born in this era. And because of the amount of choice we've got, we've become snowflakes, basically. If you're someone who gets angry at being a snowflake, then fucking snowflakes. Yeah, not like it was back in my day. You're a snowflake, mate. You're a snowflake. You can't handle your own emotions. Things aren't going the way that you expect them to, and you're losing your shit. So you're a snowflake too. Now, if you want a quick way out of just get a little bit more emotionally resilient, I would like to think that I'm quite emotionally resilient. That's why I'm talking about it. And I think if you ask anyone I know, they'll probably tell you that I am. So I thought I'd share some little tips or some ways, some like mental models you can use. Honestly, it's good. But a really quick way of becoming more resilient is to just remove triggers. If you're triggered by Facebook, come off it. If you're triggered by someone on Facebook, delete them. If you're triggered by Twitter, delete the app. If you're triggered by what you see on the news, don't watch the news. Remove the trigger. That's the quickest one. But most people, you know, if somebody's mean to you, most people are typically decent. Most people typically mean well. Your average person is neither good or bad. Sometimes we fall under the spell of bad ideas, and you might be perceived as bad, or you might be make some bad decisions, but you're not inherently an evil person. You still love your kids. You know, you can justify your reasoning behind everything you do. So people are typically all right. Now, if somebody's mean to you and you're fuming and you can't drop it, you're angry as fuck because this person's such a dickhead, then what I say to people about that is like, look, let them die on their sword. If that's them, if that's the way that they behave, I don't believe in karma, but some people use this term, karma will get them. They will just die on their own sword. Their behaviour will lead them down the path which will eventually judge them in the way that they deserve to be judged because of the behaviour. Cause and effect, right? So, what I'm going to... I've got three things that help you become more anti-snowflake or anti-fragile. Not as fragile and precious. I mean, the main problem is, what encapsulates all of it is, well, I think one of the main problems in society is mental laziness. Most of us are just lazy and can't be arsed thinking of outside the box, getting out of our comfort zones. It's mental laziness. If somebody pointed a gun at us and said, you better run to the end of that road as fast as you can, you would be able to run. You would be able to find the energy. You would be able to run away from a lion if you had flu. It's not about physical laziness. It's mostly mental laziness, so we can't be arsed. But the problem is, we just need to have different ways of thinking, right? So, three things to become less fragile, all right? And I think people who are typically quite strong and resolute, they intuitively know this stuff anyway. And you might know this stuff, but I'm going to share it anyway. So, number one, a quote that I read, which really I kind of live my life by, discipline equals freedom. Okay? Discipline equals freedom. Self-imposed restrictions, you're the one in control of them, gives you the freedom to live how you want, which is you setting your own rules for you. Pain, as I already said, or suffering will happen to all of us anyway. It's in Zen Buddhism, you know, the whole point of meditation is that we chase after desire and we chase after happiness. We're constantly striving, but the fact that we're chasing after it means that we're not there yet, so we're constantly in pain, right? So if that's going to happen anyway, we need to choose what our own pain is going to be. This is why you still get pop stars commit suicide. People who are financially successful or a lot of time famous, they're unhappy people because they're just constantly striving after that pleasure all the time. Whereas if you can self-impose some discipline and choose your stuff that you're after, you know, choose your suffering. All right, I'm going to go for a run every day. Now that's horrible, but it's my horrible. It's mine and I own it. You know, difficult things like difficult conversations with people, deep, difficult conversations with people, exercise, striving towards a goal that you've set that's really hard to get. You've set those boundaries, so you're in control. So discipline equals freedom. Number two, commitment equals depth. So commitment equals depth. If you ever see an old couple walking out street holding hands and you're like, oh man, you know, I'd love to be like that one day. Maybe one day me and my missus can be like that. They've gotten like that through commitment, not through the paradox of choice, not through being blinded by the amount of choice there is on Tinder or Facebook or whenever you go out with boys on a Saturday night. Commitment equals depth. If you want a long-lasting and deep relationship with your partner, commitment. Committing to a hobby. You know, I'm not particularly good on guitar, but I always say to people, if I was trapped on a desert island with just a guitar and nothing else, I'd be a rich man. Because I've learned to love and play the guitar. Because commitment equals depth. I deeply know how to play it. I might not be that good, but I deeply know it. I deeply understand it, and I know what's good for me and how I enjoy it. Hobbies, any hobby, there's depth there. Knowledge, something that you enjoy talking about and love to chat about with other people. The reason why you love it is because there's a depth of knowledge there. That is the reason why. So commitment equals depth. The problem, like one of the problems with modern day society, we have so much choice, and because we've got so much choice, you can become isolated because it's all right, you go do your thing and I'll do my thing, and that's fine because we've got as much choice as we want. But the problem with that is now you're over there and I'm over here and we're not together, and there's no relationships and human interaction being built, and that can then lead on to loneliness or a little bit of mine. I'm doing this and you do that and that's it. So you get a little bit of loneliness, and then what happens is you're not getting socialised by other people. You're not bantering with other people. You start to become weird and a bit closed off to the world. And that's because you've got so much choice. I can do whatever I want and you can do whatever you want. Whereas if you just commit to something, you know, and this is how people end up as snowflakes, really. So if you can just commit to something, and commit and discipline and through and go through and through and again and again and again, eventually you start getting better, and eventually you get to a point where you can actually play and you enjoy playing and you've got a real depth there. So number two, commitment equals depth. And then number three, the concept that I or the self, that person that you call I or the self, the thing that's looking out from behind your eyes right now, where your consciousness is emitting from, or you think it's emitting from, that is an illusion. It's an illusion. You are not your past, and you are not your future. You are the way that you think other people perceive you. You're not that. All those things are dreams that you're creating up in your mind. All you really are is this right now. That sense of self, that thing that you call I, that's behind your eyes, is just a lot of stories that you create because that's the way that Homo sapiens, us, have learned to interpret the world, right? And when you start to understand that there is no I and there is no self, your ego starts to disappear. And you have, I know you've heard this story and you're going to kind of laugh, but you have a strong sense of self. Someone has a strong sense of self. I'd argue that you need a weak sense of self, because the stronger sense of self that you have, the more ego you have. And the more ego you have, the more resistant you are to change and other things not going the way that you think they should go. Whereas if you have a weak sense of self, then, you know, believe in who you are and understand who you are and all, that's great. And you could say, yeah, well, that's a strong sense of self. But the sense of self is in who you think other people think you are. I mean, have a weak sense of that. If you can get that, you become much more forgiving of change. You're not as judgmental. If somebody wrongs you, you're not as hurt by it. And that is a way better way of navigating through pain than just thinking that you have to fight, get angry all the time. So number one, discipline equals freedom. Number two, commitment equals depth. Number three, the sense of I and the sense of self is an illusion. Follow through on that. Study it, look it up, because I've learned it just like you will, and trust me, it'll benefit you. Guys, it's a bit of a long one. I love you. Thank you very much. Bye. The Future Lifestyle.